The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Do you guys realize 3 weeks from today, the Bears report to Bourbonnais for the beginning of training camp? Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber alongside former Notre Dame star, former Bears star, 85 champion Tom Thayer, and joining us as well as former Michigan State quarterback, former Bears quarterback, former Steelers quarterback, Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, and current Bears analyst on the television, Jim Miller. We have a power hour and a lot to discuss because, guys, think about it. 3 weeks from today, Bears begin training camp, and a little bit after that, the Bears start the regular season. And as we sit here today, Tom, we have no idea what the starting lineup is going to look like when the Bears take the field for the regular season opener against the Atlanta Falcons.
Right, but I think that kind of makes the training camp more exciting because I think the Bears fans, again, I talked about it last week, are so disappointed in finishing the season last year 3-13, and they don't want to live through that nightmare again. So when you bring in all these free agents and you bring in all these draft choices, you want to see the competitiveness at training camp where veterans are fighting young guys for their job, for their spot on the roster, for their opportunity to make this football team. Because I think if you look at guys like Adam Shaheen and Mitchell Trubisky and Tariq Cohen and stuff, you have these young guys who are going to take spots of these veterans, and they're going to have to change the culture of the Chicago Bears, of the organization, and get it back on the winning tracks. And so I think that's neat about training camp is, my first training camp when I went to the Chicago Bears, they had just got beaten the year before in the NFC Championship game by the 49ers, and they were on the upswing. So it was going to be really difficult for any young guy to come in and make that football team and unseat some of the veterans. It's not going to be that hard this year. It's going to be, they're going to be looking for young talent to come in here and unseat some of these veterans that have been on the NFL rosters before. And so I think that adds a little bit of uncertainty, but it adds competitiveness, and I think that's what the Bears fans want to see.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Feel free to join us. Jim, what do you want to see from the Bears in Bourbonnais this year?
Well, I think like Tom said, I think the practices need to be very intense. I think players really have an opportunity to make a good impression. And normally if you go in there and, you know, like we always say, your first impression says everything, coaches are going to take notice. And I think if you follow through and start stacking up the days, it just goes, you know, it goes and it kind of seats itself into a coach's mind where like, hey, how can we deny this player a roster spot when he's shown up day after day since the opening day when he made us all take notice of, one, how in shape he is, you know, the execution of how he performs in every practice, just how hard he's working, how good of a teammate that he is. So I think players and, you know, and the coaches have an open book that everybody has an opportunity to make an impression and start stacking up the days so that they have a chance to make the roster of the 2017 Chicago Bears.
You know, and I think there's going to be some fun to pay attention to some veterans. When you think of guys like Victor Cruz and Quinton Demps and Prince Amukamara and Marcus Cooper and the other receivers they brought in, Wheaton and Wright and stuff, I think you bring in these guys that they've already had a taste of the NFL and they know what success is, but now they know they've come to an organization that they have a real chance to kind of reemerge on the landscape of the NFL. So, yeah, we talk about a lot of young guys that are going to have a chance to begin their NFL career, but we have some veterans here that they've showed that they have the ability to play in the NFL, that they have a chance to be, you know, get back on the big time contribution where you are a starter or you're getting as many reps as the starter in front of you. So, you know, Jim, those veterans that are coming in here, they have to show the hunger of a guy that's just coming out of college.
I agree. Like Victor Cruz, we talked about him before. He's had over 1,000-yard seasons, but they draft Odell Beckham. They've gone in different directions in terms of Shepard and other players they've drafted at that position. And so Victor Cruz, because of injury, somewhat fell out of favor, and also his contract played into it. I think Victor Cruz is confident that he can play, and now that he's healthy, he has an opportunity to really put himself back on a stage where people view him differently than how he ended as a New York Giant.
You know, that's an excellent point that Jim makes, because you can also say that about some of the rookies. You know, I was watching Tom Brady, and they did this feature on TV the other day because he was out in Asia at this football camp, and he was talking to the campers about not allowing others to define who you are. And right now, there are certain players that come into training camp, and the coaches and the scouting staff, they have a certain kind of snapshot image of what they think these players are. But you can change that with what you do on the practice field.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is it's labels. You know, you get labeled as a player. You know, I was an injury-prone player. You know, early in my career, hey, you know, got a chance to start, didn't go well, and then reemerged for the Chicago Bears as a starter. And every player is labeled, even coming out of college. You know, for me, I was labeled slow-footed. You know, and then all of a sudden when I got to the Bears and we went to a West Coast offense, I couldn't even believe how I looked on tape, how fat, much faster my feet looked. Or even guys in this year's draft, Adam Shaheen, oh, he's too small of a school player. He can't compete in the NFL. He's labeled right now, and you have to shed those labels as a player. And the only way you can do it is go out and remove all doubt. And those are the challenge of this year's draft picks. You know, even look at Mitchell Trubisky. He's labeled. Oh, he's spread attack, you know, only two snaps under center. You know, we're all guilty of it, but he's got to prove it. And that's really what the NFL is about. It's really prove it or go home, quite frankly.
I was going to agree with you with the Mitchell Trubisky, but I think every single quarterback that the Bears have showing up with all four of them, they have some type of a label attached to them. Whether it's Glennon and, you know, the inability to, you know, have the consistency as a starter, even though they drafted Jameis Winston, all the baggage that follows a guy like Mark Sanchez, and the glimpses of that we saw from Connor Shaw last year that people were excited to see, and then he had the unfortunate injury. So I think the most high-profile position of the Bears of any football team is the quarterback position, whether it's Tom Brady in Asia or the guys down in Bourbonnais. Every single one of these guys are going to have to, you know, overcome whatever label they're coming down to Kankakee with, and, you know, try to show what their value is ultimately going to be to this team, not for this year, but for a significant period of time.
And not just the guys in the future. See, there's some guys that have been drafted over the last few years that have a lot to prove. And a perfect example is a guy like Kevin White. He spent enough time, and I heard Jim Miller say this about Mike Glennon, that he's done everything you can possibly do to put yourself in a position to be ready to succeed on the football field. All he needs is an opportunity. Well, Kevin White has done everything behind the scenes that you need to do to put yourself in a position, taking care of his body after those injuries and getting himself right. He's big, he's strong, he's still fast. He spent a lot of time in the classroom. Now it's about what can you do on the field.
Well, you know, you think of Cam Meredith and Kevin White. They're both 24 years old. You have to hope that right now these guys are going to start emerging as the receivers that were, especially Kevin White, that's expected of them from, you know, from the time he was drafted.
You mentioned Cam Meredith. He's joining us coming up here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we are pleased to be joined by, and Tom, I don't think I'm making a crazy statement here. He is the most decorated wide receiver in the Bears wide receivers room from last season.
I agree.
It's Cameron Meredith. What's up, Cam? Am I crazy for saying that?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I appreciate all the compliments, man. You know, I'm taking a stride, but always getting better, man.
That's a frame of mind you have to have. But, you know, Cam, you know, as an ex-offensive lineman, you know, we sit in the weight room and we just try to get stronger. We try to maintain our running ability. But what is the life of a wide receiver like in the offseason? I mean, is it about seeing if you can increase your speed? Is it trying to increase or maintain your body weight, get stronger? What is it for a life of a wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, most of our receivers, you know, we got to, I mean, all of our receivers, really, we got to keep catching the ball. That's what really the main thing. But, you know, stay in condition, stay in shape, you know, get your routes right. You know, it's a daily grind, really, at the receiver position, because you always can, you know, work on little things that can, you know, help your routes. You don't even have to run too far. So, you know, it's a lot of little things that you can do, calm work, ladder work, all that stuff is good for the position.
Well, for you, Cam, one, Jim Miller here, happy 4th of July to you, and good to talk to you. You know, from 2015, yep, you bet. From 2015 to 2016, just the jump you made as a wide receiver, and clearly all that hard work, you know, paid off for you individually. But what specifically this offseason have you worked on to potentially take another huge jump, you know, where you could maybe go from 66 receptions to 80, 90 receptions in 2017?
Yeah. I mean, you know, steadily getting better, you know, working on the little things, like I said before, putting a little bit more work on the film before we get to camp, you know, trying to get a little head start jumping for the ball or jump on the ball. So, you know, going into next year, it's all about, you know, really just doing what I did last year and much more. But, you know, not only just doing that, but, you know, also proving to people that, you know, I'm ready for this, you know, position right now. So that's my main thing right now, going into training camp. So I'm excited.
Visiting with Bears wide receiver Cameron Meredith here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You know what fascinates me is, a year ago at this time, there was no guarantee that you were going to make the Bears. You were trying to put yourself in a position where you could be one of the 53 on opening day. And you got to that point, and by the end of the year, you become a valuable contributor on the offensive side of the ball. And now you could say, heading into training camp this year, 3 weeks to go, they need you as much as you needed them a year ago. And do you feel as though you need to take the bull by the horns here and be the number one receiver for this team in 2017?
Like before, but going into this year, it's all about making the most of, you know, opportunities. And when the opportunity presents itself, it's your job to be ready to, you know, handle that situation when it comes to you. So, that's the situation I'm in. I'm excited to be the guy, the go-to guy. And, you know, that's pretty much the only thing that you want to do. I mean, coming into the league, you want to earn that starting spot. But, you know, once you do that, you know, it's all about doing more. But at the same time, contributing to the team.
You know, Cam, technology is plays an important role in making sure that you become a better football player nowadays. So you're targeted 97 times. You have 66 catches. Do you go back and look at those 31 plays that you didn't come down with the football and see, what can I do different? What is my placement right on the route? Or do you only, you know, sometimes you have to look at the bad with the good to make sure that you improve.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's hard to watch, don't get me wrong, but, you know, those are the situations you have to force yourself to look at the bad things you did on a certain play. I mean, I have a couple plays this year that I wish I could take back. I already know off the top of my head, and it's all about being a student of the game, going back to see what you did wrong, and improving on it again so you don't make the same mistake.
Well, tell us a little bit about the wide receiver room, because there's a lot of new faces in there, from Marcus Wheaton, Kendall Wright, Reuben Randall, Victor Cruz, and certainly those guys have played other places in the NFL. But, you know, I got to believe it's somewhat unsettled, because they're trying to prove themselves as Chicago Bears. And who do you see emerging as the leaders when you look at your new teammates?
Yeah, we got a great group of guys right now. I mean, a lot of our guys in the room right now are, you know, 4- and 5- and 6-year players. We got Victor Cruz, who's a vet. You know, me and Kevin are the young guys. So, me got Braverman too. So, you know, it's a great group of guys in there who all are hungry and have something to prove, kind of. And, you know, we all have a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, going into the season, we're not happy with, you know, what we did last year. And, you know, we really want to step up and show people that, you know, this receiving group is not, you know, one to be messed with. So, you know, we're all excited, but we have a couple guys who, you know, always are giving back to the room, like, you know, the veterans, you know, Vic, me, Kay Wright, Kendall Wright. And, you know, a lot of guys just, you know, they help each other out. It's a give and take room, so, you know, we all help each other get better.
Getting the skinny on the Bears receiver room from Cam Meredith here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You know, listening to you talk about the receivers and the guys with the chips on their shoulder, you could say the same thing about the quarterback room, because you got Mike Glennon, who finally has an opportunity. You got Mitchell Trubisky, who only played what, 13 starts as a quarterback in college. And, you know, there's some people who doubt him. You know, Mark Sanchez brings a little bit of experience into that room. Can you break down the different quarterbacks that you have in 2017?
Yeah, I mean, we have Mike, obviously, who's coming to the offseason really as a starter. So, you know, we're really riding behind Mike right now, but Mitch has come in and competed. And, you know, he's done a lot of great things in OTAs. But, you know, Mark Sanchez is another guy who's a veteran, you know, leader in that room. He's helping Mitch come along. And, you know, he's taking and giving from Mike, and they're kind of feeding off each other. So it's good to see them all compete. And, you know, especially Mike getting on the same page with all the receivers. It's a good thing to see him get that early so, you know, he gets some confidence going into the season. And, you know, we help him with that.
Hey, Cam, as a developing receiver, was it difficult for you last year during the regular season and training camp? Because you probably worked yourself through five different quarterbacks. Was that a challenge to you because you really don't develop the continuity that you need to have on offense? Or did you just really, you know, trying to continue to become a better wide receiver, make sure you learn what your job is and not necessarily worried about who the quarterback's going to be?
Well, speaking from, you know, previous quarterback position, I can understand how, you know, every quarterback is different, but at the same time as a receiver, it's really all about relationship and chemistry with your quarterback. So you try to develop a great chemistry with all of them, so no matter, you know, who's in the game, you're ready to go and you guys can connect. But yeah, I mean, it's great to have chemistry with one quarterback, but at the same time, if it doesn't work out like that, that's why I say it's good to have chemistry with all of them. So, you know, no matter who's leading us down the field, we're always connected.
Well, let's get into coaching a little bit. How about for year two of Dow Loggins' call of plays? What, you know, say just whether it's the play installation of plays or how it's coached on the field. Is anything different from that aspect? Is it more intense? Is it different from what it was a year ago?
You mean Dow how he coaches a year from like now to?
Yeah, just from installing plays through the OTAs or even the intensity of how he's distributing the message of what he expects of the offensive unit.
Yeah, I mean, just like players, he has more experience at the position. And, you know, he's done a great job at, you know, getting guys going and putting the fire under our butts. So, you know, he's been a great leader for us in calling plays. He's expecting guys to, you know, be on point and, you know, be really focused and attention to detail. So, you know, he's calling out the little things and, you know, making sure that everything's 100% detail. So, you know, he's done a great job with all that.
A few more minutes with Cameron Meredith here on Bears All Access. So I was looking at Pro Football Focus, and they have this stat, and perhaps you can explain it to me, because I think it says a lot with all the different quarterbacks that you had to play with near the end of the year last season. But Pro Football Focus has you number one most yards per route run during final 5 weeks of 2016. What does that mean?
I mean, I can't speak to the stats. I don't know how they do all that and break it down. But, you know, I was moving all over, I think, this last season. I played a lot in the slot, played a lot on the outside. So, you know, I guess all that running on both sides of the ball is, you know, going to equal that. But, you know, it was just a lot of opportunities downfield at the end of the season, and we took advantage.
Hey, Cam, you know, last show that we were doing on Saturday, we were talking about the different mentors in the room in terms of a player with experience. Can you and Kevin White feed off each other? You guys are both 24 years old. And I mean, can you help kind of grow and mentor each other as you guys go through your career in the NFL?
Most definitely. You know, receivers on the field should always have, you know, that type of chemistry where, I could tell you something and you won't take it the wrong way, and you can tell me something and I won't take it the wrong way. So, you know, we do a good job with that, communicating with each other. But, you know, we've also been granted the opportunity to play with some veteran guys our whole career. We had Eddie Royal in the room. You know, Alshon was here. So, you know, now we got Victor Cruz. So it's been a lot of knowledge in our room, and we've definitely been able to take advantage and feed off of that.
Last one for me, Cam. And certainly I know wins are the ultimate goal. You want to win a lot of games as a football team, but personal goals, things that maybe you've pushed yourself that you say, hey, anything less than this from me in 2017 is unacceptable, whether it's yardage, you know, trying to eclipse 1,000 yards or maybe 90 receptions or more. Have you set any personal goals for yourself that you want to reach?
I always say that, you know, personal success comes with team success. So, you know, I do place personal goals ahead of myself, but you know, I don't put too much focus on it just because I'm a team player. But at the same time, You know, you do your individual goals and you might help the team. So, I mean, anything less than what I did last year, you know, just for me, it's just to keep growing. You know, this is a, you know, something that's important to me. And at the same time, like, I need to, you know, really get going now. So that's what it's all about.
It's interesting because I think when we had you on Bears All Access last season, you didn't want to talk about the goals that you set for yourself last year. I'm sure you exceeded many of them, but by the end of the year. And the reason I ask is because I was talking with your new wide receivers coach, Zach Azani, and he was talking about Kevin White, and he mentioned how he asked Kevin White, what kind of receiver do you think you are? And Kevin told him, and then he goes, I better see that when I flip on the tape. Did he do that with you? And what was your answer to him?
Yeah. You know, Zach's Coach Azani's a great coach to have in the room. He's got a lot of energy, and he's definitely one of those who's a hands-on coach. But, yeah, when he first came in, he set us all down. We watched a little film, asked us a few questions about ourselves just to see what we had in our own heads. So, you know, at the same time, he wants you to be that guy all the time. You know, that's what it's about. So you can be that guy for a couple of plays, but he just wants to see it all the time. And, you know, that's the mindset that we're developing in our room.
All right, let's leave you on a fun note here because, you know, you look around the National Football League and seemingly every player's got a social media account, and all these players during this period in time, they go out and do something fun. Like I saw Marshawn Lynch the other day on a soccer field carrying the football, and he was tackled by the goalie in the inside the net there. It was very, very weird. Dwayne Wade was out in Europe. What did Cam Meredith do this offseason for fun?
I mean, I was in and out of Chicago, you know, this is my hometown. So, I mean, I've been here for a little while, but I took a couple of vacations, you know, got to see my family a little bit more, went out to the West Coast, went out to L.A., and, you know, kind of felt that vibe for a little bit. So, you know, it's been a great offseason of downtime, and, you know, I'm really just ready to get back because, you know, season can't come fast enough.
We'll see you in 3 weeks in Bourbonnais.
Most definitely.
Thank you, Cam.
Thanks,
guys. Good to talk to you, Cam.
Yep.
Cameron Meredith, the Bears wide receiver, spending some time with us. A lot to react to, and we'll do it next. 312-644-6767. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Zach Zaidman with you on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique Bears stories and interviews. For example, this week, an encore edition of Inside the Bears. New safety Quinton Demps talks about his role as a leader on the Bears defense, and former Bear Charles Tillman takes time to visit one of Chicago's most active police districts. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. We just spoke with Cameron Meredith, and I think this is something we started talking about on Saturday and just reading that promo there and talking to Cam about it. Leadership is going to be a major storyline in the weeks leading up to the regular season to find out exactly what you have, Tom, as a football team.
Right. And, you know, the thing about, I think, that when you talk about the wide receiver position, you're going to have a lot of confidence in guys like Kevin White and Cam Meredith, because you think of these guys as 24 years old, and you look at the age of some of these other guys, 26, Marcus Wheaton, 27, Kendall Wright, Deontay Thompson, 28, Josh Bellamy, 28. So if we're realistically looking at Cam Meredith and Kevin White to be the number one outside wide receivers of the Chicago Bears, they got to come in there, and it's not an arrogance, but it's a confidence to let everybody know that, look, we can be the leaders on this football team. We can be the go-to guys at the wide receiver position. And then we are talking a little bit about, in the commercial break, about Cam Meredith's contract status. And he's still in the first contract of an undrafted free agent. And you think about production leads to value and leads to a new contract and all the opportunities that he has in a reachable distance to him, just like Kevin White has to, you know, stay healthy and be on the football field. But when you're talking about two 24-year-olds, you know, they're going to have to come in here with the belief in themselves that they can be leaders and productive leaders on this team.
Jim, what struck you when you were watching Cameron Meredith last year about his ability and where do you know, you asked him the question and I think he was kind of evasive in his answer because no one ever wants to kind of put all their goals out there publicly. But in watching him last year and seeing what the Bears have done at the quarterback position and understanding what Dowell Loggins likes to do offensively, where do you see him taking his game this year coming into the 2017 season after establishing himself last year?
Well, I think Cam recognized that once he started making plays, Dowell Loggins started to move him around. You know, whether it's in the slot, you know, moving him to different positions, because clearly Dowell wants the most productive player to set up plays to get that player the football. And here you threw out the numbers in terms of, just the statistics and yards after catch and all those things. And Dowell said, hey, this guy's making plays. I've got to find a way to get the football in his hands more often. And I think, you know, now he's proven that, and he certainly has the confidence of Dowell Loggins that if he's improved this offseason, I think it'll continue to happen. You know, for Kevin White, and even for Cam, because they're so young, I think they have to continue to earn it. I think there has been some trust made by Cam Meredith for all the reasons I just mentioned with Dowell Loggins, but I still think when you turn to Kevin White, he's still got to prove it. He's still got to earn that trust. He's still got to, you know, show that he can remain on the field week in and week out, where really Dowell Loggins can get him the football if he starts making plays and move him around in areas that suits him the best and what his skills represent. And I think for in the room, until those guys prove that, then they'll start to, if they do, then they'll start to garner the respect of, hey, we got to start looking at these guys and do what they're doing, because they're the ones getting the football and making plays because they've earned the trust of the offensive coordinator and the quarterback to deliver the rock to him. So I think all those things matter. I think they're all intertwined, but as always, you got to prove it. And once you start to prove it, you start to earn trust, you earn respectability, you earn the confidence of your teammates, and you certainly earn the respect that they know that you're working hard to go get a victory every Sunday. And that's when they consider you a leader, because all you want to do is win.
You know, Jim talks about players proving it, and I think that's the biggest incentive any of these guys have. And if you would ask Cam Meredith the question, what are your goals for this year? If I would say start 16 games, because if I'm starting 16 games, that means that I'm productive 1 week to the next, and there's no threat of me losing my job. Because Cam Meredith was active for 14 out of 16 games last year, and I know at least one of them was a healthy scratch before the game. So if Cam Meredith is developing into the receiver we all have expectations for him, you know, 6'3", 200 pounds plus, is a really good athlete. He's got courage over the middle, and he can make all those catches. But now, Cam, you know, you're just active for 16 games. That means you are productive, and that means that you are in a leadership role, because people know that week in and week out, we're going to see you on the field.
But, Jim, there are some people that would say, hey, you know what? He was able to put up those numbers a year ago with Alshon Jeffrey on the other side. He doesn't.
Some of the time.
So, with the exception of the four games where Jeffrey was suspended. So, what happens this year when you don't have that kind of a threat opposite Cameron Meredith on the field?
Well, he put up those numbers with, what, three different quarterbacks? Well, actually four, when you think about it. So, that tells you that he was getting the ball even regardless of who was in there at quarterback, because he had earned the trust, whether it was Brian Hoyer or anybody else or Jay Cutler. When Jay Cutler was in there, they said, hey, I know what this guy can do and what he's capable of doing. He's where he needs to be when I need him to be there. And those guys are the ones that are pulling the trigger, delivering the rock. And so whether it's, you know, even Barkley, when Barkley was in there, he repeatedly went to Cameron Meredith. So that, to me, that's a little window into the, you know, what the quarterbacks thought of him. I mean, clearly Dowell Loggins, as we just mentioned, was moving him around, recognizing that this is the guy that's making plays. So, you know, I would expect a better year from Cam Meredith. As Tom mentioned, he's got to stay on the field, but I think that's a good indicator that all those quarterbacks trusted him, and so did the offensive coordinator.
Jim, I got a question for you. Eddie Royal over the last couple of years is more of a miss than he was a hit. So now say that Victor Cruz is a big hit on this football team, and he has a lot of attraction in the interior of the field in the slot position. Is that Is the slot position, the attention that he will attract, is that more important for the wide receiver position because you're going to have to relax some of the coverages that you can put up against Kevin White and Cameron Meredith and all the other wide receivers on this football team? Because if you have production out of the slot, it does have, changes of the coverages. So what do you think as a quarterback? Is it that position that's going to help most?
I think the biggest position, well, one I've talked about three lines that has been lacking in Chicago. I think the biggest effect on coverage is going to be running the football, because if those guys start to produce outside, nobody wants to play the Bears with two high safeties. That means you only have seven guys in the box, and if that's the case, Jordan Howard should be making hay. So teams most likely will bring the safety down, and it should leave good one-on-ones, whether it's the slot guy or the two outside guys with Kevin White and Cam Meredith. Now they've got to go make plays, because that's what you want, and that's all you can ask for is one-on-one.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the Bears offense, but with 3 weeks to go before the start of training camp, let's hit the identity of this football team. And I think the identity is on the other side of the ball. We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Zach Zaidman here with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Visit 7-Up Chicago Bears training camp from July 27th through August 13th on the campus of Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. View the daily camp schedule and get your free tickets right now at chicagobears.com. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here, so is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Right, we spent the majority of the show talking about offense because, quite frankly, we always look at offense first. It's just something that always happens when you talk football. But throughout the history of the Bears, when the Bears have been good, it's because the Bears' defense has been really good. And I think there's a belief, just talking to the players this offseason, Tom, there's a belief that if these guys can stay healthy, and that's a big if just based on what's transpired the last 2 years, but if they can stay healthy, there's talent there.
Right. Well, you know, the one thing that worries me, because we began the show talking about the competitiveness up at training camp because there's so many spots that are open. When you watch offensive tape after a preseason game, you can pay attention to specific fundamentals and techniques to see if the player is doing them correctly. And then you have to make sure they understand their assignments so they do those perfectly. One thing about playing defense in the preseason is we see all these vanilla offenses that they don't show anything until the regular season. So the evaluation is going to be a little bit more difficult, defensively, talent speaking, because of the crap offenses you're watching in the preseason. So, what are you looking for out of the personnel? You know, it's going to be difficult to evaluate the safety positions about ball, you know, long balls being thrown if they don't attack you continuously, if they're just running these vanilla plays up into the line of scrimmage. So I do think there's going to be a lot of judgment that's going to be placed on the effort and the way you perform in practice as much as you do in the games. And I would like to see all the players get more reps in the games, because I think it's, you know, going to be a better evaluation if that's the case.
So clearly I see what you're going to be looking at when we do the games on the radio. Jim, when you're calling these games on TV, what are you going to be looking at from a defensive standpoint?
Well, I think, the giving up the big play and not getting, the key turnover or getting off the field on third down when you need to. You know, and a lot of it is vanilla, like Tom talked about, but certainly Vic Fangio wants to see certain things from his players in one-on-one situations, and he should, because why? Look at the Bears' first four games. Is Julio Jones going to rack up 130 on him? And then week two, Mike Evans, who could be getting big plays over the top. Week three doesn't get any easier with Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and Le'Veon Bell. And then finally in week four, they got to face the Packers on the road, where Jordy Nelson returned to form, and Ty Montgomery, a converted receiver, was tearing people up as a running back. And they still have, Adams and the other guy, Randall Cobb, who can make plays. So this defense is going to be tested early.
You're
going to find out in the first 4 weeks how good these guys are. Can they keep those offenses under 30? Can they keep them under 24? If they keep them under 24 points a game, you're doing something, would be my take for the Bears defense.
Here's something that, and if you listen to the Bears on the radio, the word that you want to hear Tom saying a lot during the season is ball.
Right.
Because that means the ball's out, It's loose. There's an opportunity for a takeaway. We haven't heard a lot of that over the last couple of years.
But, you know, that comes from, you know, not only the defensive backs, you know, getting their interception, but it takes the ability for the defensive line, the linebackers, to have immediate penetration so they can strip the ball out of the hands of the ball carrier before they have complete control of it. Because when Jim mentioned, when you think about Montgomery last year in the Green Bay Packers game and how he ran up and down the field on him, so it is going to take, you know, Jonathan Bullard's going to have to play like a seasoned veteran. We saw glimpses of what his ability can and should be throughout training camp, but now during the regular season, he's got to come out there like a warrior. And every single one of those guys, Akeem Hicks had a great season, but he can't do it alone. So if we hear Eddie Goldman making plays in the backfield, Jonathan Bullard, Mitch Unrein, and Akeem Hicks, and all the other guys they signed, then you're going to hear that come out.
But that's a big thing, because we started the show talking about competition across the board. You know, last year when they had the injuries up front of the defensive line, there wasn't the depth that I think you needed. It's changed this year, at least right now. When you look at the roster, you know, they bring in Jay Howard, a veteran presence at the defensive end position who can push Jonathan Bullard. They bring in John Jenkins on the interior who can help out if a guy like Eddie Goldman gets hurt again or Mitch Unrein suffers an injury. That, I think, is a huge difference heading into 2017, Jim.
Yeah, well, I think it is. And I just think overall they should be an ornery football team for all the reasons that we've talked about. Nobody's given them any respect at all. I think if I were them, I'd plan on picking a fight every single weekend because nobody seems to give them the respect, because I believe that they are built better than what people are getting credit for. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I called them better than advertised at certain positions, because if I'm Mike Lennon, I'm tired of hearing I can't lead this team. If I'm Cam Meredith, I'm tired of hearing I can't be the number one receiver, and that goes for Kevin White and anybody in the secondary. So every week, this should be an ornery group looking to prove somebody wrong, preferably the opponent they're facing that particular Sunday. They need to pick a fight every weekend and remove all doubt. And that's how I think every player on the Bears should approach it.
Yep, I agree. And it's got, you know, it's got to start in training camp. And I mentioned it the other day. I liked what John Fox does at training camp, because they're physical, hard-fought practices. And I remember last year when they brought free agent Ted Larson in here, and he and Akeem Hicks were fighting on a daily basis, and everybody's saying, what do you get out of that? But it kind of is, you get a feeling, you get an understanding of what lengths your players are willing to go through in order to earn a job, win a job. And Ted Larson played good football for the Bears. He went on to sign with the Miami Dolphins. Akeem Hicks was one of the best free agent signees of all last year. But we need to see that same aggressiveness out of every one of these guys you mentioned, and Jenkins and Howard and Eddie Goldman and Jonathan Bullard. Every one of them have to show that.
So do you think, Tom, and I know it sounds crazy because there have been coaches here in the past who would freak out if players started fighting during training camp practices and they blow the whistle and they'd close the whole thing down. You haven't seen John Fox do that. Do you think it's good to have some of those little flare-ups?
I don't want passive football players. I want a guy, you know, one thing about Ted Larson is he would always play to the echo of the whistle. And at the end of the play, he'd probably give a little bit of a shove after it was over. And then Akeem Hicks didn't like it. And then he made it, you know, be known. Don't take a guy that is okay with getting pushed around or, you know, ending the play on your back or near the sideline when you should be in the middle of the scrum. So, you know, Zach, is one thing about the practices that I grew up with the Bears in our era is the practices were so physical. They were so hard fought that the games almost seemed like a little bit of a relief because we practiced so hard. And I think you do benefit from that. I think you go into the games with the understanding of this is football. This is not a passive sport.
But see, you played for Ditka. You played for Shula. And the argument now, and we'll hit this on the other side, the argument now is, well, if you practice like that, you're not going to have a healthy team by the
Baloney. John Fox has been in the NFL a long time. He understands the work, the effort you have to give in practice to get the effort in the games.
But have the Bears not been banged up significantly?
You're too young generation.
I'm just asking. 312-644-6767. We'll find out from Jim Miller. He played under different coaches like Cowher and Gerard.
Belichick's the same way now.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, get Jim's thoughts next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Experience the fun and excitement of Meyer Bears Family Fest on Saturday, August 5th, as the Bears hold a team practice at Soldier Field. All tickets are just $8. Get yours today at ChicagoBears.com. It's really cool because it's that one chance during the training camp portion of the offseason in which the players get to practice in front of a big crowd in a game-like situation. You know, it's a little different. They're out of Bourbonnais. They're back in Chicago. And they know that there are a lot of fans at Soldier Field that one day that are watching the Bears. And it might be the only time they get a chance to watch the Bears in person. And they bring it. I mean, there's a certain intensity at that family fest that you might not get in other practices.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing the NFL has done is give the families an opportunity to come to Soldier Field on a kind of a relaxed weekend day. But it's not relaxed for the players because they're still filming every drill. They still go back and evaluate every single time you're in your stance. And that's one of the things that people have to know is the evaluations don't stop just because you're gone from Bourbonnais to Soldier Field.
Plus, kids, I think, get an opportunity to run the 40 at Family
Fest.
And
there's a certain selection of kids that come down on the field. And, it's a neat deal.
All right. So this is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Tom Thayer's here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Before the commercial break, we were talking about, and there seems to be an old school, new school argument to how you should conduct training camp practices. And obviously the CBA controls what you can do.
And Jim sees them all. So.
Right. And Jim goes around the entire National Football League. And Jim played and not that long ago when the rules were different. So what's your attitude, Jim, on how much you should push things in these training camp practices?
Yeah, I think you have to prepare your players for a physical style of play. I mean, what NFL game plan since the game was invented or its inception of football, has any coach said, hey, we want to out-physical our opponent. We want to out-hit our opponent. Because that's true. That strategy wins in the NFL. I'll give you a case in point. Dan Reeves, who I played for in 97 for the Atlanta Falcons, we were doing Oklahoma drills. Running back Jesse Tuggle was live tackling Jamal Anderson week 15. The next year, Atlanta went to the Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl. Granted, they lost, but Dan Reeves wanted a tough football team. And that's the same for Belichick. He's gone to multiple Super Bowls. I played for Tom Coughlin. He's gone to multiple Super Bowls. He had Jacksonville knocking on the door. And same for Bill Cowher. My first 2 years in the NFL, I thought it was, hey, we're going to the AFC Championship game every year. And then we ended up in Super Bowl 30 against Dallas because that was his mentality. You have to have a physical football team. If your team is soft, you will not win in the NFL. It's plain and simple, and I think Tom said it best. Nobody should want a soft football team, and that goes for any player on the team because you're only as strong as your weakest link. If you got a soft football player, the coach in the front office better find a way to remove that player from that locker room. Football is a tough sport, and that's the way it's supposed to be played.
I agree because I think the fans play an important role at training camp when they surround the fence and they get an opportunity to watch the Bears and watch any NFL football team go through their paces. But when you shrink it down to a drill that we used to start every practice with, it's referred to as Nutcracker. And so you have one offensive player going against one defensive player. They're a couple yards apart. They have a big collision, and then it's you drive your feet or the defensive player tries to disengage, and then you have a running back coming through the hole. So now you have the entire team surrounding you, and they watch these three players go at it, which is you have a half the team cheering for the defensive player, half the team cheering for the offensive player, and you have Matt Sui or you have Walter Payton or Dennis Gentry or Cal Thomas or Neil Anderson waiting behind you for you to perform your block so they can get through the hole unscathed. But now you're going against Steve McMichael or Hampton or Singletary or all the guys from this year's team. There's a lot of personal pressure that you put on yourself in front of your peers to go out there and win that. And that collision, it only takes 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second if the defensive player blows you up. But again, that's a way of building the camaraderie and the toughness of your football team.
Now, to be fair, the Bears have been practicing in Bourbonnais at training camp since 2002, I believe. And you mentioned this a couple of years ago, that the most physical practice you had ever seen was the final Bourbonnais practice, I think, in John Fox's
first
season,
year.
Right?
I've never come out to a practice of the, you know, the players have got this mentality of, hey, this is our last practice in full pads. Let's go out the night before, have a couple beers, slap each other on the back, and tell us how great we are. I was so impressed with John Fox because they came out to practice, and it was hot, and it was a tough, hard-fought, physical, grinded out to the end type of practice, and I just liked what I saw, and I thought that practice there would carry weight into the future, and you know I hope it develops into something bigger coming this year.
And Jim, no one is saying that John Fox's Bears to this point have been soft out on the football field. That's not the case. The issue that people have is they've been banged up, and how do you put yourself in a position where you build the tough physical football team that you want without jeopardizing the health of the players? Because if they're not on the field, that puts you at a significant disadvantage.
Yeah, and that's a part of coaching too, where the coaches stress, hey, stay up on your feet. You know, so for these rookies, if they're down on the ground, that's how you get blown out ACLs. They need to be taught how to practice at the NFL level. It can still be physical, and it can still have a lot of speed, but there are certain do's and don'ts within that style of practice. And I've said it all along, I don't think it's John Fox at all, because I do think the Bears have been a well-coached, bad football team, is how you describe it. Now they've got some players at some key spots, and we'll see what unfolds, because I think they're being taught to do the right things to win, and that's the mentality and the physical style of play of what he wants on the football field.
You know, I think guys like John Fox and Vic Fangio and the rest of the coaches, they've been around long enough, and they know how to weed out the softies. And, you know, and the weeding out of any NFL roster, it's a difficult deal to live with, because, you know, if you want it, you got to show it every single day. And you can see it in guys' eyes that aren't necessarily willing to put up with the demands of the sport. You're getting paid a lot of money. And that's what, you know, you should go out there and you should work hard anyways.
Man, you've got me so fired up. If you love football and you didn't enjoy the last hour, well, you just don't love football. I mean, we need training camp to start immediately. 3 weeks from today, Bears report to Bourbonnais. So what, 21 days from right now, the Bears hold their first practice in Bourbonnais? Can't wait.
Yep.
But we've got another edition of Bears All Access, which will come your way next Wednesday on Chicago's Sports Radio 670, The Score. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, Eli Hershkovitz on the other side of the partition helping us blast through the speakers of your radio, I'm Zach Sabeman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.